Well, good morning, church. My name is Kathy, and I'm a partner here at Sycamore Creek. I'm also a volunteer on the teaching team, and I'm so excited to be here this morning. I'm glad you're here today, too, as we finish up this series on parenting through the Proverbs. I'm a parent. I have one daughter. She's an adult. She's 38 years old. She would love that I'm telling everybody her age this morning. She is a wife and mother of two young daughters, so I have two granddaughters as well. And my daughter and I, Cody, have a good relationship. Actually, we have a great relationship. We get along really well. We like to do things together, go places together. I'd say we have a good friendship. And the only thing is, once in a while, the mother in me comes out. The mother in me comes out occasionally. And if you have adult children, you know what I'm talking about. That every once in a while that the parent comes to the surface and I say parental things to her. It happened a few weeks back. Actually, it's been about a month or so now, at the Potterville campus, during church, of all things. Teresa Miller, who is a partner here at Sycamore Creek and a nurse, and she leads our medical mission trips to Nicaragua, she came out to Potterville to share a presentation about the latest trip. And Cody and I sat together in church that morning and listened, and she got really excited about it. And afterwards, she leaned over to me and she said, "Mom, that Nicaragua mission trip sounds really cool. I think I'm going to sign up for the next one." Now, a friend would have said, "Yeah, it does sound cool. Let's research it together. Maybe I'll go too. We can do it together." That's not what I said. What I said in my best mother voice and my best mother face is, "Cody, don't you think you have enough on your plate?" Yeah. Now, we've been doing it a long time, Cody and I, so she doesn't really get upset or hurt when I say things like that. But she did look at me, her enthusiasm sort of dropped, and she's just kind of said, deadpan, "You can't just let me be excited, can you?" Yeah. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard to stay excited. In this series, we've been talking about parenting and all the different growth stages of parenting. We've established that there are four different stages of growth. The first being from birth on to age 5, when we're disciplining them, teaching them right from wrong. Then on age 6-11, we get into the training years, where we're helping them to instruct them on things and learn more things about life. And then from the time they hit the tween years, 12 to 18 or so, is the coaching years. We're helping them set some boundaries in their lives. Today, we're talking about the friendship years. When our child reaches 18 or so, they become an adult, they get a pink slip on their life, so to speak, and they're responsible for themselves. They can vote. They can do all kinds of things. They're adults. They're grown-ups. And that's what we're looking at today. And we've looked at two wise resources through this series, one being King Solomon in the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, who had a lot of good advice. The other being Dr. Seuss, who is probably one of, if not the most well-known and beloved authors of children's literature. They both give good advice. And so we've considered these two wise resources, and as I said, I'm a parent of an adult child. I haven't always done it right. I've made mistakes along the way. And I would like to tell you that I was asked to speak on this subject this morning because I'm an expert on parenting adult children. But maybe closer to the truth is I'm probably the only person on the teaching team who has adult children. So I'm sort of up here by default, so take it easy on me. I'm not an expert, but I've done some things right, but I've learned through this series a lot of the things that I haven't done right. I was one of 5 children. All 4 of my siblings are here this morning, which is kind of neat. So my mom, our parents, and maybe some of you can relate to this, we were raised in the generation of parents that believed children should be seen and not heard. That you should do as I say, not as I do. Spare the rod. Yeah, some of you are survivors of that generation of parenting, too. Our parents were tough, and especially our mom, who was a disciplinarian. She was tough, but she had to be. She was first and foremost our mother, and she had this magnet on her refrigerator. No matter how old she is, a mother watches her middle-aged kids for signs of improvement. But then, of course, she had this one, too. Raising children is like being pecked to death by a chicken. And sometimes it's true. Sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? That generation had to be tough. It was a little different back then. I have to add this part, a little disclaimer to this message, because not everybody is a parent. Not everybody had a wonderful childhood growing up either. But I don't want you to feel left out of this series, because for one thing, we all can glean a little wisdom from the Proverbs, right? There's something in there for all of us that we could learn and apply to our lives and better our lives. But also, there are children in our midst. Whether we have children or not, there are children in our midst. Maybe in our occupation, maybe we work with children, or maybe we have an extended family and children, neighbors. And in this church, we have lots of children. You just saw them all whoosh out of here. And every one of you has a possibility to be influence those children, to invest in their lives and set examples. So there are children in our midst. So this series really is for all of us. We're in it together. Our role as parents shifts and change. We become, well, I'll share this one. Mirror, mirror on the wall, I've become my mother after all. That's a pillow I bought for my mom a few years before she died. It was true because our role as parents shift and change as our children grow. Or it should if we're doing our job right. And it is a job, right? Some people say it's the most important job we have. But if we've done our job right, we can move as our children grow through these different stages. We're no longer disciplining them, and we're no longer coaching them and training them, but we're moving into the friendship stage. And here's our challenge. It's hard to think about the child that you've disciplined and trained and coached as a friend, isn't it? It's a little hard to think of that. But it's possible to enjoy a satisfying relationship with your adult child if you're willing and able to let go of that parental grip you have on them and learn to trust. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about three keys to being a friend to your adult child. And they all involve trusting. Trusting yourself, trusting your child, and trusting God. And let's be clear about what trust is, because it's one of those words that we think we know, but let's be clear that trust is the firm belief, the firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, and the strength of someone or something. It's being confident. It reminds me a lot of the verse from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that talks about faith and defines faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So trust and faith kind of, to me, are a lot alike. Being sure, being certain, being confident. Look, there's no automatic switch. It's not like a light switch that you flip on when your kid moves from one stage to the next. You don't blow out the birthday candles at age 18 and your friends. It doesn't happen that way. They blend and overlap and grow, and trust builds over time. But I want to take a look at the first key to being a friend with your adult child, and it's trust yourself. Trust yourself. You've disciplined, you've trained, you've coached. Trust what you have instilled in your child. Rely on that parenting that you've provided. You've spent the first 18 years or so of their lives investing in them. Believe that it's sufficient in helping them to make good decisions. I asked some of my friends on Facebook, because you know that's always the source to go to if you need some good advice, go to Facebook. I asked my Facebook friends, was it difficult for you to transition into that friendship stage with your child? And I got a number of people that responded. One person said it was difficult. It was hard to let go and let their child go their own way. And I thought that was a pretty profound thought, that they need to go their own way, not the way we would have them go, not the way we envisioned for them, the dream we had for them, because it might be different. We do have some influence on what they do, but ultimately, they're going to live their life, and they should, just like we have. So we have to learn to let go and let them make some decisions. And other friends said they had to learn when to speak up and when to shut up. You do have to bite your tongue a lot when you're a parent, right? And learn that it's not personal. That, to me, is, I think sometimes parents, we use that guilt trip a little bit. We manipulate a little bit, don't we? I guess my opinion doesn't matter anymore. Those 34 hours of labor meant nothing. We manipulate a little bit because we're the parent. We can make them feel a little bit guilty. But we have to learn to let them go their own way, and we have to realize it's not personal. It's not personal. Another friend said that they actually enjoy their adult children. They do a lot of things with them. They hang out with them. They have fun. And their kids know that when they offer advice, it's for their own good. And they love them, and they take it pretty easily. And a fourth friend said, I'm the mom, no matter what. I'll always be mom. It's my job. If I don't like something they put on Facebook, I'm going to tell them, take it off. She took a lesson from our moms. Now, my mom, I do have to do a little disclaimer. My mom had 5 kids. I mentioned 4 of my siblings. All my 4 siblings are here today. And my mom had 5, so that's different than having 1 child. And they were really tough. So I'm telling you, she had her work cut out for her. So the first key is to trust yourself. Trust your parenting. Have confidence in your parenting with your child. You'll be better able to trust your child if you trust yourself. And that moves us into our second key, which is trust your child. You've given your child the tools they need to handle being a grown-up and make wise choices. So trust them to use those tools. I ran into a young man out in Potterville at church a few weeks back. He's been someone that's kind of grown up in the church. I've seen him off and on. And I said, hey, how's it going? And he said, he sort of smiled and he said, I've been busy adulting. And he smiled and said it like it really wasn't all that it's cracked up to be. It isn't. And you know, adulting is one of those words a lot of millennials use to describe doing grown-up things, being responsible, paying your bills, buying your groceries, doing your laundry, right? All those things that go with being grown up. I've heard some 40-year-olds use it, though, so it's not just the young people that are trying to get used to adulting. But I thought it was a good response from him that he'd been busy adulting, making decisions for himself. And I found this cute video on YouTube that I'm going to play, and I'd like you to watch with me. It's called Things We Still Ask Our Mother.
Mom?
Mom?
Mom.
How do I make a dentist appointment?
But how do I thaw a chicken?
Can you do it for me?
What is my social security number?
How do you soften butter?
Can I have your Netflix password? Can I have your HBO Go password?
Mom?
How many stamps do I put on something?
You could put Windex on wood, right?
What would actually happen if I washed whites and colors together?
Is it Dad's birthday?
How do you cook rice?
Do I have credit? Do you have credit? Can I have some of your credit?
Am I in a tennis shop? How many minutes do you boil an egg for?
Are you supposed to ride your bike with or against traffic?
When does mascara expire? How long is chicken good for?
Well, how long does cinnamon stay good for? I don't know, like 4 years?
How do I wash something that says dry clean only? No, I did not get red wine on my shirt again.
How do I unsign up for a credit card?
Do I have any allergies I don't know about? What about shellfish? What about fish without shells?
Can I use them on your airline mile?
What is our family medical history? I thawed the chicken in the microwave and then I ate it. Am I gonna die?
Hey, Mom. I had a question. Why did I ever want to leave home?
There's some cute ones on YouTube. There's one also, Things We Still Ask Our Dad, that you should check out. It's pretty funny. When we looked at our video when we started about Thidwick, remember seeing Thidwick, the kind-hearted moose, the big-hearted moose? He was taken advantage of, wasn't he, really? He was maybe a little too kind and maybe a little naive. He let the bingle bug and others really take him for a ride, literally. And as parents, our hope for our children is they won't get out into the world and be duped, you know, that they won't be taken advantage of, that they'll have the smarts not to get into that much trouble. But our hope also for our children is that they will realize there's no free ride for them either, right? They need to, at some point, leave the safety and comfort and warmth of the nest and go out and fend for themselves. Be responsible. Start adulting. They can't stay in our antlers forever. They can't. They need to get out. We need to prepare them to do that. We want them to be able to set healthy boundaries for themselves and for other people. So just to recap, our first key to being a friend is to trust ourselves. Our second key is to trust our children. If I don't trust my child, how can I expect that she could trust me? And if I can't trust my child, what does that say about my parenting? Right? So the third key to being a friend to your adult child is to trust God. Save the best for last. To trust God. And let them go. Let them go. It's hard because we don't want to let go of our parental authority and influence. It's kind of selfish in a way. There's a little bit of selfishness to that because we've been number one in their lives for so long. We've been it. We've been the go-to person. And it's hard to let go of that control. So part of that is selfish. We don't want to be less important or less significant in our children's lives. But more than that is we worry. We worry about our kids. We want to spare them from heartache and pain and disappointment and hurt. We don't want them put too much on their plate, right? That magnet could have said, no matter how old she is, a mother worries about her middle-aged kids. Worry is opposite of trusting in a way, isn't it? Trusting is believing God, and worry is not believing God. It's believing the worst. There was a study done at Penn State University that I read about not too long ago that talked about parents' worry and how it related to their sleep patterns, the parents' sleep patterns. And it found that a number of adult parents still lose sleep over their adult children. Can you believe that? Oh, yeah. So much for that fallacy. Bless you. So much for that fallacy that we tell parents of young children, of babies, oh, you'll sleep when they're grown. No. No, you won't. You'll still be worried about them when they're married and having kids of their own. And you know, part of that is just not wanting to let go. You still will worry about your adult children. There was something called helicopter parenting. Have you heard this, helicopter parenting? I hadn't heard about it either until I started looking into this message. It's been around a long time. It's about parents that hover over their children, keeping them at arm's length, and don't want to let go of them. It first became widely circulated back in the early 2000s when college administrators used it to describe the behaviors of parents who would call their college-age children to wake them up for class. It's 10 o'clock. You got that 11 o'clock class. Are you up yet? Did you brush teeth? Seriously. Or they would call the professors and talk about grades. I found this cartoon that's been around actually for about 7 years, 2010, comparing parenting in the 1960s when I was growing up to the 2010. And you see in the first slide there, the parents are talking to the child saying, these grades are terrible. And look at the little child, they're cowering in fear, healthy fear, I'm sure. And then in 2010, on the other side, we got the parents and the child hollering at the teacher, these grades are terrible, and the poor teacher is cowering in fear. How the tables have turned in 50 years, where we used to hold our children responsible for themselves, for what they did, their behaviors, and now we've turned that around and we want to blame everybody but. The tables have turned. My mom was a big fan of Ann Landers. Anybody remember Ann Landers? Ann Landers had a column, newspaper advice column, and she did give out pretty good advice, you know, which way to turn the toilet paper on the roll and stuff like that. But she also gave good parenting advice. She said this quote, in the final analysis, it is not what you do for your children, but what you have taught them to do for themselves that will make them successful human beings. Isn't that profound? It's not what you do for them. It's what you teach them to do. And I'd take Ann Landers one step further and add, to make them successful and faithful human beings. We need to stop doing so much for our children. Get out of their way. Get out of God's way and get out of our kids' way. And let God do what God will do. He has a plan for your child, just like he's got a plan for each one of us. But we really want to protect their children because we want them to learn from my mistakes. We want our kids to learn from our own mistakes because we've been there, we've done it, we've touched the stove, we know it's hot. Why don't they just listen to us? Because they need to experience the heat themselves. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to have some failure. I work with a woman who was, I was telling her about this series, and she's got a teenage son in the coaching stage, and they're having all kinds of trouble with him. They went to the teacher finally, not like the cartoon, but to really get some help from the teacher and get some advice, and the teacher told them, you need to back off a little bit. You're smothering him. You're giving him too much attention. They were helicopter parents. They're trying to keep him safe, but they were really causing more trouble. He needed to experience some failure and fall. And I thought about that. It's kind of like when you're teaching your kid to ride the bike. When you're teaching your kid to ride the bike, you don't say, don't fall. You're not supposed to fall. No, you say, it's okay to fall. Get up and try it again. You'll go a little further the next time. You don't ride the bike for them. Maybe the first time. You watch me. I'll show you how to do it. And then you let them try it, and then they fall. It's okay. Get up. You'll do better next time. It's okay to fall. In the Bible, King Solomon talks about giving advice to people that are wise and people that are not so wise. He said, fools are headstrong and do what they like. Wise people take advice. And one of the versions I read said, they listen to advice. So wise people listen. They take advice, maybe even follow it. But headstrong people are willful and stubborn and pigheaded and determined to do it their own way. Determined doesn't sound too bad unless you put bound with it. You ever realize that? They're bound and determined. That makes it sound a little more evil. They're bound and determined. But wise people take advice. We want our children to be wise and take our advice. But we need to be wise also and take the advice from Solomon. From Matthew, the book of Matthew, we hear this scripture on the wise person, the wise builders, wise and foolish builders, I should say. Everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder who built a house on bedrock. The rain fell, the floods came up, the winds blew and beat against that house. The house, it didn't fall because it was firmly set on bedrock. But everybody who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice will be like the fool who built a house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came up, the winds blew against that house, it fell and was completely destroyed. There was an old Sunday school song about this verse. It said, the sand, house on the sand went splat. Some of you might remember that one. But of course, Jesus is not talking about our house. He's talking about our life and building our life on a firm foundation, the firm foundation of Jesus. If we build trust with our children, if we cultivate that trust with our children, if we trust ourselves, they may be more likely to take and follow and ask for our advice. But it starts on day one, the day they're born. You can't be a buddy with your toddler. I'm sorry, it doesn't work out that way. You can't be a buddy. They need to be disciplined. And you can't be a friend to your tween. You can have fun with them. I have two granddaughters, and I have a lot of fun with them. And actually, I am their buddy because I'm grandma. I can be a buddy. But if you're the parent, they need coaching. I do some coaching, but I mostly have fun with my granddaughters. And this is going to be hard for some of you to hear, but you cannot be your teenager's BFF. You can't. Some people think they are, but you can't. They need to be they need to be coached. You're still being coached. You will be their BFF someday. You will be their trusted advisor, but not now, not yet. You're not always going to be popular, and you're not always going to be liked. It's never too late to do the right thing, I believe. And so if you're listening to this series this last couple weeks like I have and think, boy, I didn't do a lot of things right. I did some things right, but maybe you're thinking, I shouldn't have done that, or I should have done this. I wish I would have heard this a long time ago. I don't think it's too late to do the right thing. I think you could have a conversation with your adult child and say, hey, I've been listening to this series on parenting, and I realize there's some things I could have done a little better. I'm sorry. Can we start fresh today? Let's be friends. I bet you'd surprise your adult child if you said that. And if you have small children and you're realizing, boy, we're going down the wrong path here, we probably should be doing things a little differently, I don't think it's too late for them either to sit down and say, hey, we've been watching some things at church and learning about how to be better parents. And we realize there's some things we could do a little bit better. So starting today, we're going to do this. Maybe start new practices with your small children. It's never too late. We can't undo and go back and redo things. But we have, going forward, we can do better. So you remember at the beginning of this message, I talked about the challenge we have as parents. That it's hard to think of the child you've disciplined and trained and coached as a friend. I think we should reframe that and think about it a little differently. I think we should look at it like this. It's much easier to be a friend and a trusted advisor to your child when they have been disciplined and trained and coached. See how that turns around? But you have to trust yourself, and you have to trust your child, and you have to trust God. God is our trusted advisor and friend. One last word from King Solomon. When train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Sometimes our kids, well, we all, sometimes go through a season where we do turn away. But then we come back. Lots of times we come back. So trust God, trust your child. And I want to share this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who I know some of you have heard of. He's a theologian and pastor, he was, and he had some great books. One of the things he said is this: it is from God that parents receive their children, and it is to God that they should lead them. Our children come through us. They don't really belong to us. It feels like it. Feels like they belong to us, but they don't. We kind of have them on loan for 18 years. They're passing through us. We get them from God. I want to close by sharing a poem with you that I wrote back in 1983. Yeah, long time ago. I wrote it for my then 4-year-old daughter, Cody. And the poem reveals the hopes and dreams I had for her as a young mother. I was very young when I had her. What I hope we would have as an adult relationship. My hopes and dreams for our relationship as adults, which is crazy when you think. I'm here talking about the friendship years. And way back, almost 35 years ago, I was thinking about that. And God placed these words on my heart then for Cody. And I even mentioned Dr. Seuss in the poem. Yeah. So here it is. Years from now, when you are grown, perhaps with children of your own, I hope that when you think of me, remembering makes you smile. Most of all, I hope you recall the time we spent that didn't cost a cent, the walks we took holding hands, the talks we shared, the dreams, the plans, the hugging and the kisses. Extra special, this is the kisses. Reading books by the crateful. For the written word, I'm grateful. If not for you as my excuse, I'd never known Mother Goose, nor been introduced to Dr. Seuss. When you have grown and moved away, please call me every other day. Or least of all, give thought to me and remember how life used to be. At night, I tuck you into bed and listen as your prayers were said. A goodnight kiss, oh Lord, I'll miss your being in my everyday when you have grown and gone your way. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for family. We thank you for children and grandchildren and parents and grandparents, for siblings and aunts and uncles and cousins, all those who we love and call our own, those that were born to us and those that we've adopted into our lives. We thank you, Lord, for you are our trusted advisor and friend. Help us not to be headstrong, but to be wise and seek your advice. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Will you join me in thanking God for Kathy this morning? So you can text some questions in here. We're going to spend about 5 minutes putting Kathy in the hot seat. All your siblings can text all their hard ones in.
Okay? Good thing they don't know how to text.
They can fix. Oh, they're pulling them out. Okay. So let's go ahead and put the timer up there. Any advice for an adult child on how to remind parents that they're grown up and don't need as much guidance without offending them?
That's a tough one. You know, I mentioned my daughter's 38, so it's been a while for me to grasp that whole idea. I mean, all through her 20s, I realized through the series that I was a helicopter parent. And I kept, you know, I probably enabled her in a lot of ways because I did so much for her. I think if you want your parent to treat you as an adult, first thing is you need to act like an adult. You need to be adult, take on responsibilities. And that's not to say you can't ask for help. We want you to ask our advice, but you need to, at some point, leave the antlers, start taking care of yourself. And when your parent sees you, you're making wise choices, I think they'll treat you as an adult.
Is there a way to find a person to be, quote, friends as a mom when my mom is gone?
You know, my mom is gone, and so, you know, it's tough. And I feel really bad for people that lose their parents at a young age. I was 50 when I lost my mom and my dad a few years after that. And it's hard even when you're 50. I can't imagine when you're a young person and you lose your parent. Because, and my mom used to say that, you only have one mother. You only have one mother. And it's tough, but I think that there are a lot of people, especially if you're in this type of a community, in the church, there are so many mother types that would love to be a trusted friend and advisor. So it's just breaking that ice and getting to know people, joining groups, join a small group, get to know people. And I can't imagine anybody wouldn't just melt if you said, boy, I lost my mom, but I could really use a friend.
Do my parents get the same feelings when they look at me that I get when I look at my little kids?
I think that answer is yes, because I look at my daughter, who's I see her at every stage of growth. You know, I can remember her as a little toddler. Her little face looks the same to me. I still see her as a toddler. I see her as a tween. I see her as a teenager. And now I enjoy her as a friend. So I think, yes, your children... You look at your children, feel that love that you can't imagine loving anybody more. That's how your parents feel about you and always will.
How do you handle risk-taking behaviors from your adult children, and how do you advise without controlling?
Oh, that's a tough one. Well, I think it comes back again to trust, being a trusted advisor. If you've built that up and they trust you enough that you could go to them and say, you know, I think you got too much on your plate. Sometimes it goes over well, sometimes it doesn't. But the risk-taking is difficult because you can get into some heavy stuff like addictions and things like that. And it's hard as a parent to stay neutral. But sometimes that's the best thing you can do because we can overdo for our children even when they're in the midst of something difficult like that. I think you do the best you can.
Any advice for an adult child? Oh, I read that one. What would be a good first step for an adult child to open a door of friendship with a parent in whom they don't trust?
Well, trust, once trust is broken, it's really hard to build it back up. But it can be built up, it just takes a lot of time. And doing the right thing over and over and over again, you gradually build trust back up again. I think you make the first step by communicating again. Communication is the key to everything, isn't it? going to them and just being open and honest and saying, you know, we need to work on this relationship because we're in it for the long term. You know, you can't undo, you can't go back, change stuff, and that hurt's not going to go away easily, but you can move forward and just be open and honest and talk with them.
You may have just answered this question, but someone just asked, how do I communicate with my adult children?
Well, they do have a language all their own sometimes. But, you know, as an adult, as a parent of a child, if you go into online and learn some of the stuff that your kids are into, it's hard for your children to relate to you when you're so out of touch with stuff. And we need to be open as parents to learning new things. Then we'll be able to talk. It's okay to share our history and what we know, but we also have to learn what's going on in our kids' lives.
I think we put you in the hot seat enough. You answer questions a lot faster than I do. I always run out of time in these 5 minutes. But you'd make a good politician.
Oh, don't go there, Tom.
Will you join me again in thanking Kathy?
Thanks.